Hey, what's going on? This is Ron Artest, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan. Listen, you must. Say it again. Buscarini? Alright. Jordan Buscarini. Alright. With Jordan Buscarini. Shout out to Queensbridge, you already know.
Coming to you live from Price.
Put that cookie down!
Price, Utah.
Now!
Me and my man, Trav. Love Price. Price is awesome.
Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini and Travis Anderson on KOAL AM 750, Eastern Utah's main source for local sporting news.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM, 750 AM. We talked briefly, I should say briefly, we talked for a good portion of the show, just not to the extent that I would have liked yesterday, about the Hall of Fame and the new individuals that will be representing their organizations, and the talk of Vladimir Guerrero, and we talked about Trevor Hoffman, and of course Chipper Jones, but we also talked about those individuals who did not get into the Hall of Fame. And I think it's always, there's a fine line. You don't want to make, you want to make sure you're not focusing entirely on those who are not in, and focus on those that did get in. And that's where we're going to go with this next segment, as we bring in a great friend of mine, Steve Bordstein of Fox Sports 1340 in New Mexico. Steve, it's always fun to get you on the show. Thank you.
Oh, thank you for the time. I appreciate it a lot.
Definitely, Steve. And you sent me a piece that you wrote up about the Hall of Fame and some of the individuals that did not get in once again. Now, we're starting to see the numbers rise a little bit for Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens. They're floating around that 55% mark. This was the first time in quite some time that Pete Rose did not get a single write-in vote for the Hall of Fame. But at the end of the day, that's where the focus is. The steroid era in baseball. And while Barry Bonds was a Hall of Famer, you know, back when he was a 40-40 guy before the alleged PED use, it still is tainted
It's tainted the idea of putting this guy in the Hall of Fame. It's tainted his entire career. And the same could be said for Roger Clemens.
You agree with me on this. These two should not be in the Hall of Fame, nor should anyone who has either been found guilty of using PED use, or where the evidence is so overwhelmingly in favor that they did, that we know that they did without saying so. I mean, you and I share the belief here.
And you and I also have the ability to look at things logically. I don't need a positive drug test to show me that Barry Bonds used some type of performance-enhancing drug. Based on the medical evidence that we know of the effects of performance-enhancing drugs, in particular steroids, we know the physical effects. We know the physical things that occur to a person's body. How do we know that? Because we have medical research. And unfortunately, we live in a time where we want to question things in medical. We want to question facts. We want to question the things we actually do know and can actually ascertain with our own eyes. I don't need a positive drug test to tell me that Barry Bonds did steroids. I can see that with my eyes. Now, to go back to players that have been inducted into the Hall of Fame, because that's always the argument that they come up with. Well, Steve, there were guys like Hank Aaron and Jordan. There were guys like Ty Cobb and Babe Ruth. They all did bad things, too. They all did drugs. They all drank. They all were bad people. Okay, I can't fix the people that have been inducted in the past. I can't. But what I can do is point out that the people that I can control their induction, I will. And that's my responsibility. My responsibility is to point out that the people who did these things, the people who lied to you, the people who brazenly and who brazenly went out of their way, knowingly making their individual accomplishments bigger than the business of baseball, I can do my part to prevent them from ever getting in. You mentioned the numbers of Bonds and Clemens, both of them over 55%. I don't want ballots revealed. I don't want the names of the people who voted a certain way to be revealed. I like the secret ballot format. I want that to be kept intact. But I want those 55% people who voted for Bonds and Clemens and the 60% who voted for Bonds last year, I want those people to never, ever speak to me about integrity in sports. I want those people to never be able to have a lecture with me, or anyone else for that matter, about the integrity of athletes. Because you knowingly are allowing people and endorsing people who have no integrity, who put their own individual accomplishments ahead of the sport of baseball, and you're endorsing those people for induction into the Hall of Fame. You would not let that man near your family, but you're saying that what he did on an individual basis was acceptable to you. And to me, that's unacceptable.
Well, right. I agree with you 100% what you said. And in talking of Barry Bonds, I've had someone tell me this a million times over the past 48 hours. He never tested positive. Look, he was found guilty of obstruction of justice and had an opportunity to answer a very simple question under oath and failed not to do so. That right there is all I need to know, Steve. It's that simple in regards to Barry Bonds.
That's it. That's all you need right there. And the same thing can be said because his name will come up in 3 years from now, and that's Alex Rodriguez. It's the same conversation is going to come up then. Well, Alex Rodriguez never tested positive. Alex Rodriguez also had an opportunity to address this issue. He talked about it, but he never tested positive. He admitted to it and never tested positive. Yet people are going to vote for him. And Alex Rodriguez, I'll give him all the credit in the world. He is working very, very hard right now at rehabbing that image of his. How is he doing that? He's getting himself on both of the two largest television networks that broadcast baseball, ESPN and Fox. So he is working really, really diligently at rehabbing his image. I don't care. I will never vote for that man, nor should anyone vote for that man. And that brings up another topic, and I know we're running on time here. But the idea that 443 writers make up the Hall of Fame committee, make up the people who vote for this. Do you know who does not have a vote for the Hall of Fame? Vin Scully, Joe Buck, radio broadcasters, television broadcasters, sports writers in general. You have to be a writer, and you have to be a licensed member of the Baseball Writers Association of America. Why is it not open to more members of the media? Why is it not open to more general? And again, I don't want public ballots. I don't. But I would like to see the role expanded a little bit so that we can allow people who actually do see the sport on a day-to-day basis. I would like to see a more progressive ideology or a more progressive roster, if you will, of the people who are voting for this.
I agree there, too. And going back to what you said about Alex Rodriguez, he's a very interesting topic. I did a research study years and years ago when I was back in college about the apologia tactics of Kobe Bryant and Tiger Woods. I compared how these two actually attempted to rebuild their image with the huge fallout in the prime of their careers. Alex Rodriguez has done everything right. He has pushed every single right button over the past 3 years to rebuild that image. And I'm really curious to see how those individuals who do have a vote vote. And I think another guy that you got to keep in mind as well, and he shares the TV with David Ortiz. Is David Ortiz a lock to get in? Because, Steve, at the end of the day, we can talk about Roger Clemens. We can talk about Barry Bonds. All it takes is one individual who has somewhat of a shady past in the steroid era to get into the Hall of Fame. And then, boom, the gates are going to open and they're all going to get in. That's all it takes is one.
And I have a solution to it that I propose with Pete Rose. And it's not a popular solution by any stretch of the imagination. I have a very simple solution to it. We induct all of them posthumously. We do not allow them to benefit from it. I do not want Barry Bonds to walk around promoting himself as a Hall of Famer. Oh, look what I got away with. Because that's what it is.
Yeah.
I will be happy to elect Barry Bonds to the Hall of Fame, Pete Rose to the Hall of Fame, all of them. I'll be very happy to do it when they're dead. And that sounds cold, and that sounds condescending, and it sounds horrifying. But I don't want Pete Rose, who we all know is going to attempt to financially benefit from his status as a Hall of Famer, because we see him doing it now, because he uses the I'm not a Hall of Famer card all the time. I will be very happy to induct all of them, but not so much that not in the sense that they will be able to benefit from it in any way.
Now, you could make the argument a lifetime ban for Pete Rose actually comes to an end when his life comes to a close, right? I mean, that's a fair argument.
Correct. The lifetime ban ends, so he'd be okay. I'd be more than happy. I'll write his name in myself, but I will not let him in so long as he is alive, and that he will attempt, because we know he will, to financially benefit from that. Same goes for Bonds, Clemens, Sosa, all of them. Everyone who has been suspected of or has in some way admitted to or in some way but has the numbers to be in the Hall of Fame, I'll be happy to talk about their induction once they're dead.
Yeah, the Pete Rose topic is one that definitely gets a lot of people worked up on this show. I know it's an interesting conversation, but for me, it's as simple as this. It says in the rules, if you do this, it's a lifetime ban. Guess what? He did it. It's a lifetime ban. Again, we're being joined
by...
He admitted to it. Yes.
Signed the letter.
After two decades of denial, and scrutiny and the dragging baseball's name through the mud. 2 decades later, this guy admitted to it. That's a problem.
So why are we having the why does that conversation even exist to this day?
I agree. Again, our guest right now is Steve Bortstein of Fox Sports 1340 in New Mexico. He is the host of First Sports, and we're going to talk about that show in just a moment. Steve, if we go away from the Hall of Fame talk, yesterday was a very big day for the Milwaukee Brewers organization. They make not one, but two moves. First off, acquiring Christian Yelich. This is such a fascinating move, especially when there were so many other rumored destinations in the National League for him. Then they go out and they grab Lorenzo Cain. So, again, just a monumental day for the Milwaukee Brewers. At the end of the day, I got to apologize because last season, I think I had this conversation with you as well. I ripped David Stearns up and up because Milwaukee just stayed pat, made no significant move when the division was theirs for the taking. I mean, it was right there, and they did absolutely nothing to get better at the trade deadline. Bigger picture, the NL Central is going to be very entertaining. It's a three-team race at this point in time, but the Brewers have now got to be known as serious contenders. They did a lot to beef up their offense yesterday.
No question about it. Christian Yelich, a 290 hitter. They didn't give up, they didn't give up a lot for him as far as I'm concerned. But again, I think also what you look at is the numbers as far as production is concerned. He's going to be not so much the ground ball guy that they used to have. And as hitter friendly as Miller Park is, Christian Yelich is going to be able to provide, I think, a lot more power in his position. I also thought the move with Lorenzo Cain was a great move for them. And yeah, they're going to hit their share. Cain hit 31 more fly balls last year, though, and he's moving to a great park for that kind of hitting. So I think if you're a fantasy baseball guy as well, and I know you do some fantasy baseball, you do some fantasy baseball. Those are two guys I'd love to get on my fantasy team if I played it. But those are guys who are going to be big impacts, and you mentioned the National League Central. Look, that's a division that the Cubs should dominate. I don't think there's going to be a lot of change. I think you and I talked about this the last time I was on with you. I don't expect there to be a lot of change as far as the division leaders are concerned in the National League. I think the Dodgers, with the return of Andrew Tolles, will be fine. I think the Nationals are going to be fine so long as Bryce Harper's still there. I think the Cubs will be fine, but they're going to close that gap. That was a 6-game gap, and they were hot already in the second part of the regular season last year, but they just put themselves on the map, no question about it.
Cain gets paid, and the last time I had you on, we were talking about some of the major free agents who are still without a home, and this is kind of getting off the topic of Cain and the Milwaukee Brewers, but now Major League Baseball is considering a plan to band together to form their own version of spring training for free agents. I don't know if you're aware of this or if you read into this story, but at the end of the day, I mean, look, you got Yu Darvish, you got Jake Arrieta, we got Eric Hosmer, we got JD Martinez, got Greg Holland. I mean, these are some really notable names that are still unsigned. Now that the domino has fallen for Lorenzo Cain, I don't know what that means for the rest of the market. But are you a fan of Major League Baseball putting together their own version of spring training for those who are still looking for clubs? Because we know at the end of the day what it's about. It's not the ability of Darvish. It's not the ability of Arrieta or Hosmer or Martinez. The fact is, next year is a bonkers free agent period and teams are hesitant to spend money. That's what it boils down to.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't have necessarily a problem with that. It's essentially no different than the college quarterback who has his own pro day, right? I mean, it's essentially the same thing. He gets to play in his environment. He can choose where he can choose where he's at. He gets to hit in friendly ballparks. I don't have a problem with something like that. I'd love to see how XYZ pitcher would throw at a particular ballpark that's more hitter friendly or more pitcher friendly, or maybe a place is more strikeout friendly. I wouldn't mind something like that at all. I think that'd be a fun idea. And again, because a lot of guys are not going to have homes by the time, April, November, January rolls around. There might be still guys that are out there. So, yeah, take them down to Arizona in January. Have yourself a pro week where you have different batters, different hitters who don't yet have teams, and let them audition under their own conditions.
Steve Bortstein, Fox Sports 1340 in New Mexico. I'm going to let Steve tell you right now how you can find more of his work. Steve, go right ahead.
And 3 seconds to say one other thing. One rule I do not want changed. I do not want a pitch clock in Major League Baseball. If you're too stupid to follow Major League Baseball and the amount of pitches that are thrown or the amount of times over to first base, stop watching baseball.
Hey, let me before we go into the end here, let me throw something else out there. I agree with you again 100%, which is part of the reason why I like bringing Steve on this show. At the same time, I had the same argument with people 10 years ago in college football. Remember all the rule changes with the clock that they made in college football because the games were lasting too long? Look, if you don't want to take a Saturday, if you don't want to take 3 to 4 hours out of your Saturday morning to watch a game, then don't. But don't screw it up for everyone else who enjoys it. Same opinion I have with baseball.
All right, my show, First Sports. Weekday mornings, 9 a.m. to noon Eastern. That's 7 to 10 a.m. in the mountain region. You can hear it online via the iHeartRadio app, which you can download right now to your smartphone or wireless device. Again, the show is First Sports. Weekday mornings, you can catch it on our website at foxsports1340.com. Also, on the weekends, I host a horse racing show called The Fast Track, also available through the same iHeartRadio app. You can also catch it on our website at foxsports1340.com. Busy weekend coming up this weekend in horse racing. The richest race in the world is being run on Saturday. You want to find out more about it, tune into the Fast Track tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Mountain Time. You can also follow me on Twitter with all this fun stuff and more at Fox 1340 AM.
Steve, it's always so much fun to get you on. I always enjoy the conversations. Thank you again. We'll do it soon.
You always get me riled up. I appreciate it.
We have more coming up here on Drive Time Sports. We'll break for just a moment. KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.